The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fishes are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
No one really knows the precise number of hungry people in our world. But the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization estimates it to be 925 million. That's approximately one in every seven people. And we don't have to go to Africa to see a hungry person or to see hunger. Just go to downtown Tucson, near the cathedral, and you will see some of them. Hunger was no stranger in the days of the prophet Isaiah and Jesus as well. In the first reading today, Isaiah voices the dream of the returning exiles. Put it into context, our Jewish people, where some of them were carried off by the Chaldeans to be exiles, and after a few years, the Babylonians came and took everybody away, and they spent 70 years in captivity or in exile in Babylon. With their pitiful resources, they longed for all to be able to eat well without having to pay a cent. They dreamed of no one dying of thirst or malnutrition. In the Gospel today, Jesus enacts God's promise to fill the hungry with good food, as he feeds a crowd of thousands. Before the birth of Jesus, just after the angel Gabriel left or departed from Mary, she sang the beautiful prayer that we now have, and we call it the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, the official part of the official prayer of the church and during the Vespers or evening prayer. And there's a line there that explains how the justice of God is done. And it says, "He will fill the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." This is not only the feeding of the thousands. It's not only an act of heartfelt compassion of Jesus, but it is also a politically subversive action. In the day of Jesus, as also now, food is about power. The rich, who had control of land and the means of food production and distribution, comprised about 2 to 3% of the people. And they were the ones who ate well and plentifully. And we can all read all of these in the scriptures, even in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. The rest struggled daily to feed themselves and their children. Taxes, pestilence, and drought often ate up their reserves and left them on the brink of starvation. In today's world, there is easily enough food for everyone and then some. We even waste food. America is number one in wasting food. Tomorrow is the expiration date. We throw it away today. In Europe, they have enacted a law that they have to give all these food and vegetables from the grocery stores to the needy, to shelters, to homeless people. But not all have enough land to grow food or have sufficient income to purchase the land. That is a big problem also in my home country. In the Philippines, there is one family whose goal is to buy every single tract of land that is empty and to transform it to a subdivision, housing project, and malls. We have one of the countries that have biggest malls. And so what happens? The agricultural tracts of lands are neglected and they become urban, and so we cannot feed the people in the country. In the Philippines, there is the International Rice Research Institute, and we taught all these Asian nations how to plant the rice and harvest. But we, the teachers, are the ones importing rice from these Southeast Asian countries because of the greed of some people. In today's gospel, the disciples of Jesus presume that there is enough food for everyone, and they just automatically thought that it is someone else's responsibility to provide it. The disciples want to send everyone off to buy their own food, thinking that everyone has money and that the surrounding villages have the resources to feed the multitude. But rather than dismissing the crowds, Jesus simply tells his disciples, "Give them some food yourselves." Jesus directs his disciples away from an impulse towards self-sufficiency to a solution that depends on remaining in community and pooling and redistributing their resources. That's why in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, what did the first members of the church do? All of them who had anything that they could share, they brought them at the feet of the disciple, of the apostles, for them to decide which one has the need. Jesus multiplies in a Eucharistic action. Jesus multiplies and transforms all that they have, and there is more than enough. Only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus intervened and the thousands are satisfied. Like those disciples, we all have a role to play in bringing about God's kingdom on earth. Building the kingdom of God begins here and now, not in the distant future. And so the gospel today invites us to resist the temptation to consider that it is someone else's responsibility to address the problem of world hunger. We can contribute to feeding people who are hungry in our own way. Saint Teresa of Calcutta says, you don't have to feed the multitude. Begin with one person. That's how you begin helping people. Begin with one person. When we gather at Eucharist, we not only give thanks for God's gift received freely and abundantly, but together we seek to understand the causes of hunger and redouble our efforts to galvanize the church's energies toward aiding peoples and nations to take the drastic measures needed. Some parishes have food pantries. Some parishes have St. Vincent de Paul. For example, at St. Elizabeth and Seton, they have one of the most active St. Vincent de Paul conference. How many food packs do they give per week? How many home visits do they do per week? This week marks the 50th anniversary of the International Eucharistic Congress hosted by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia on August 1-8, 1976, headed by John Cardinal Kroll. The theme of that religious event in 1976 was the Eucharist and the Hungers of the Human Family. That one-week program included such subjects as the hunger for liberty, the hunger for truth, the hunger for understanding, the hunger for love. And it was participated by 1.5 million people, and several notable speakers were present. One of them was Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who is now Saint Teresa, who challenged Catholics to recognize Jesus not only in the Eucharistic elements at Mass, the bread and wine that are consecrated, but also in the disturbing disguise of the poor. In our modern society, we always dismiss the poor. I don't like to see these poor people. They are stinky, they are dirty. But they are our passport to heaven. Matthew chapter 25, that is our manifesto. When Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead, and what does He say to us? I am hungry. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was this and that. And come, be received, welcome to the house of the Father. And so if you are rich, if you are comfortable, begin going to heaven by sharing what you have to others who are in need. The Brazilian Archbishop Helder Camara insisted in his talk that true satisfaction of the hungers of the human family cannot be achieved unless justice is done. Social justice is one of our treasures in the Catholic Church. And we have 7 or 8 social justice items given to us by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and one of them is preferential option for the poor. The American social activist Dorothy Day spoke of the role of the Church's liturgy in her decision to become Catholic many decades earlier. It was, she said, the physical aspect of the Church which attracted me. Bread and wine, water, incense, all nature cried out to me. That's why we are told our Catholic faith is called by other people as the religion of smells and bells. Because you can feel the presence of God using your 5 senses. You can smell the incense, you can taste the bread that has become now the body of Christ, you can taste the blood of Christ in the wine, you can see, you can hear, you can kneel, you can stand, you bow, you do everything. All the different things that we do at Mass, simple gestures and words and responses are not meaningless. They're all meaningful. Everything that we do here have meaning and connection to what we do as a worshiping community. Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen was also in attendance, who will be beatified this coming September 24th in Illinois. He will be declared blessed. Pope Leo XIV gave a go signal to that, because it was halted. The investigation for his beatification was halted during the time of Pope Francis. And Pope Leo XIV gave that big check. Go ahead. I grew up watching him on TV, with that black and white TV. Life is beautiful. Another participant was a Polish cardinal named Karol Wojtyła, the Archbishop of Krakow, who 2 years later would be elected Pope and would take the name John Paul II. For many of the younger people here, that is the only Pope you know. When I opened my eyes from my mother's womb, he was the Pope in the 1980s. He was elected 1978. And so preaching at Mass during that event, he said that the hunger for freedom dwells in the heart of every person, and that we all who participate in the Eucharist must at the same time accept the messianic program of liberation, according to which the best use of freedom is love. Love should be free. If you were married with a shotgun behind you, that is not a free love. You were forced, coercion. That's why the first question of the priest to the couple at the wedding rite proper is, have you come here freely and wholeheartedly to profess your love for this person? It has to be free, complete, and total gift of self. Not because this and that, no. Without fear or coercion. And so, according to John Paul II, Jesus Christ is the true prophet of men's freedom and also of the liberty of the nations and peoples and of all the oppressed who suffer from hunger for true freedom. So if you notice, brothers and sisters, the readings for this Sunday emphasize spiritual nourishment and the fulfillment of human needs. If any of you here has studied any psychology, there are, according to Abraham Maslow, there are hierarchy of needs. And the basic need, of course, is the shelter, food, and clothing, but the highest of all need is belongingness need, self-actualization. The prophet Isaiah tells of God's care for God's people in today's first reading. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. And we sing in today's responsorial psalm that God gives us food in due season. He never abandons us. He gives us what He needs. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He gives us all His our needs. And through the Eucharist, the Son of God satisfies the deepest desires of the human soul. Because as St. Paul exhorts us in the second reading, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.